China loosens restrictions on air travel, but as political tensions grow, will American carriers be allowed to fly there? Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Leisha Santarelli. Good morning. China is now allowing foreign airlines to make one flight a week into a designated city on the mainland. But the likes of Delta and United Airlines may not be welcome. China's civil aviation regulator has filed a complaint with the U.S. Department of Transport over President Trump's plan to stop Chinese airlines from flying to the U.S. The BBC's Robin Brand has more from Shanghai.
The worsening relationship between the U.S. and China includes empty skies. American passenger flights haven't flown here for months. Now, President Trump said he will ban all Chinese airlines from traveling to the U.S. In response to that decision, China has signaled an easing of its restrictions. The Civil Aviation Administration said qualifying airlines will be allowed to fly once a week to a city here of their choosing. It also announced that all airlines coming to China will be allowed to increase flights to twice weekly if their passengers all test negative for COVID-19 over a three-week period.
Our China correspondent Robin Brand reporting there. Now, one of the biggest mergers in the fashion world is being put on ice. French luxury giant LVMH is reconsidering its $16 billion purchase of Tiffany & Co. due to the effects of the coronavirus pandemic and ongoing protests in the U.S. Dana Thomas, the Paris-based author of Fashionopolis, says the move was expected.
Investors are not surprised. Even luxury watchers are not surprised. The luxury business has collapsed in this period of pandemic. Stores were closed. Sales went down. Yes, there was some e-tailing. So Tiffany's sale price should be less than it was pre-pandemic because the value of the company is lower. Arnault would like to reopen negotiations. Tiffany says there's no legal basis to negotiate the deal, and the company is in compliance with financial covenants under the merger.
What next for LVMH?
I think LVMH will wind up with Tiffany. They just don't want to pay the price that they were going to pay before the pandemic. They aren't just buying Tiffany to push into the fine jewelry market. They already have Bulgari and a couple others. They wanted to have a bigger hold in America. And more than anything else, they wanted that Fifth Avenue store. LVMH, in my opinion, is more a real estate company than a luxury company. The luxury goods sales and the champagne sales are sort of like the icing on the cake, that the value of that company is in the real estate, and the value of Tiffany is that Fifth Avenue store.
In the post-COVID world, what's the outlook for fine jewelry?
Fine jewelry actually is going up. During the pandemic, there was a spike in two different kinds of purchases on internet retailing. Comfy clothes, cashmere sweaters, pajamas, track pants, and fine jewelry. People were buying investment pieces. They decided that, you know, if the world is coming to an end, maybe we should put some gold in the safe. So fine jewelry was up, and people didn't mind having it delivered by mail.
Dana Thomas, author of Fashionopolis, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Let's take a look at the financial markets. This week's rally appears to be fizzling out, with stocks in Asia ending mixed. Japan's benchmark index rose 0.4%, while the Shanghai Composite fell 0.1%. Over in South Korea, shares of Samsung Electronics rose 0.6%, and that's despite news Samsung's de facto boss, JY Lee, was arrested again by police as part of a long-running corruption investigation. Meanwhile, European stocks are around 0.5% lower ahead of today's ECB meeting. Now, that meeting by the European Central Bank is expected to boost its asset purchase rescue program. European Union countries are gradually lifting coronavirus restrictions as the health side of the crisis starts to stabilize. They've also been closely watching what Germany does. So should we expect another financial top-up from the ECB? Bert Colein is senior economist with ING Bank in Amsterdam.
We're expecting the ECB to go big again. They had already announced 750 billion euros of asset purchases, and we're expecting them to add another 500 billion euros to that today because they seem to be running out of that sizable 750 billion that was previously announced.
How much money can they keep throwing at the issues, and is it trickling down to small businesses and to consumers?
Well, with this 500 billion that we're expecting that they're going to announce today, that's probably going to get them a long way already. How much of that is really trickling down to European small businesses and consumers? Not all that much, but the ECB has already announced very favorable loans to banks, which means that a sizable amount of liquidity is getting to the market, which is important for small businesses.
So the ECB has a pretty tough act to follow. Over in Germany, Chancellor Angela Merkel's coalition agreed to a $146 billion stimulus package. And this is with the hope of getting consumer spending and business investments going again. Do you see Germany's approach being a very good model to follow?
Well, surely it's a relief to the ECB that Germany has announced this. We already heard signs from the ECB president, Christine Lagarde, that they wanted to see more fiscal stimulus happening. So also governments chipping in with support, because the ECB cannot all do it by itself. So it would be very welcome to the ECB that this is happening. We may get a big pan-European response later on in the month when European leaders are going to come together to see if they can approve a European Commission proposal of another $750 billion rescue fund for the recovery phase. That's still very much up in the air whether that's going to come through or not, but hopes are alive that something like that could happen, which would help the European recovery.
Bert Colijn, senior economist at ING Bank in Amsterdam, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure to be on.
And finally, the Japanese technology giant SoftBank is setting up a $100 million fund exclusively for companies led by people of color. The fresh pot of money will look to support entrepreneurs from communities that face, quote, systemic disadvantages in building and scaling their businesses. For more on how the corporate world is responding to the US protests, visit our website at marketplace.org. In London, I'm Lisha Santarelli with a Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.